a very lucrative new TV deal, like the Premier League clubs have got, because that makes it a lot easier for them to spend over a billion.
Well, that's definitely what's driving the market, isn't it? The fact that, that this money's coming in. And it's not just the domestic TV deal, it's the international TV rights as well, such as the popularity of the Premier League worldwide, that clubs are spending that. And it's not just the big clubs either. You know, when you look through the league and you look at the amounts of money that are being spent, you know, by what we would consider the smaller clubs, the less successful clubs on players, is incredible. That really does, to me, show the inflation in the value of players.
Well, exactly. I mean, you know, just look at my hometown club, Bournemouth. They spent 15 million on a player. I remember when Bournemouth didn't even have 15 pence to rub together. So it's a staggering turn of events.
It certainly is. And I think that, you know, you have to look at the impact that has on the club. So clubs like Bournemouth, that they're financially sort of sound and have that money to spend and are well run. And we're seeing that clubs are living better within their means now, with various things that have been put into place. But also when you start looking at the Championship and lower down, what impact that has. I see Aston Villa have spent 15 million on a player. Newcastle obviously took Matt Ritchie from Bournemouth to Newcastle for a big fee as well, I think 12 million. So you see the impact of that, and it's important that you know, whilst the market dictates the value of and the cost of players, that clubs are in sort of have their finances in order, much like us, because I think we all worry on our day-to-day accounts, what we're spending, where we need money to be transferred from and to and when, and making sure that we live within our means, because I think that's a worry for everyone. You might say that's a bit rich coming from a former football player, but I've been retired for 11 years now, so spare a thought.
Morning, Graham. It's Jack here.
Jack.
How are you doing? You all right?
Good.
Good. Do you think that the amount of money being spent across English football especially, do you think it's sustainable? Do you think it's something that we're going to see getting higher and higher, or is it something that's going to peak? Or,
well, it's very difficult to say. I think there was a quote from Arsene Wenger back in 2002 or 2003 saying that the market is unsustainable. And I think at the time, I think he had a very valid point, because he didn't predict the expansion, shall we say, of the Premier League as a sort of, you know, internationally, but also the demand by television companies and the competition, shall we say, domestically, which is what's driving you know, the money that goes into players' transfer fees and salaries. So you know, the question is, are the television companies domestically and internationally prepared to continue to increase the amount that they spend on showing football, and it's only when that reaches its peak that we'll have an impact on football. But it's also important to remember that football is doing a lot to, maybe not enough, some people would say, but, you know, from my point of view, I think it's important to recognise that football is doing a lot to make sure that they give access to people and make it affordable for people to go to live matches, because football without fans, I know from experience, you know, if you play in an empty stadium, it's so much more difficult, it's so less appealing. So,
did you see the EFL trophy last night?
I didn't, actually. Was that a case in point?
Well, 29 matches, average attendance 1,400.
Yeah, and that's shocking. You know, that is where we need to look at what the factors are behind that. And it's not necessarily the cost.
No.
You know, it could be the fact that there's so much football that people can go and see. There's obviously a lot of football on the television. It's the time it's played. It's during the week. There are so many factors. But one thing we do have to be conscious of, and I've, you know, clubs have done a lot in the last few years, particularly around away travel, ticket prices. They put a limit on away ticket prices. And getting that blend of ticket prices so that people can continue to go and watch football is vital in order to keep it as vibrant as we can, because that's what makes, certainly from my own experience, what made the Premier League so special and continues to do so, is we're getting, you know, massive crowds, you know, nearly at full capacity, and we've got to make sure we do that. So it's important. I do think it's important that we separate the amount of money that's spent on players from the experience that we have as supporters. They're sort of, you know, one is market and demand, and we can argue whether that's, you know, whether it's crazy or sustainable. But it's important also that we look at it from how the clubs operate on a day-to-day basis in terms of engaging with their fans and the communities.
Let's talk a bit of Chelsea. Last night, David Luiz came out that it looks like Chelsea have had a bid popped in for him. Well, that came out of nowhere. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it did. And if that's the case, then obviously it's interesting, surprising as well. But he's a player, you know, I when he was at Chelsea in you know, the first occasion, he's a player that, should we say, stands out on the pitch. And that's not because of his hair. I'm talking purely about his style, football style, because he is a... You know, he's a very creative player. He takes risks, and that's fine, I think, if you're a midfield player or centre forward. I think that's part of your job. But when you're a centre back, you need to manage your sort of your risk, shall we say, with your reliability. And you know, he had people on the edge of their seats for the right reasons, but sometimes the wrong reasons. But he was a young player. He was you know, a lot less experienced. And I think whatever he does, whether he stays at PSG, whether he moves to another club, or whether he returns to Chelsea, I think he's somebody that fans can really relate to, because he's got a fantastic character. He plays with 100% commitment, really cares when he plays. And I think fans need to have those relationships with some players where they can really embrace that person's character and the spirit that they bring onto the football pitch. But ultimately, it's about delivering performances and being reliable as a defender. And if you're reliable, then you get picked. If you're not, then people start to lose faith in you, and then you you don't hold down your place.
Exactly right. Let's finally get your thoughts, Graham, on the club that's just across the road from us here, Leeds United. Jerry's tweeted in, it's transfer deadline day, but as Leeds United call it, Wednesday. get your thoughts on the current situation over at Leeds, because it's an interesting one.
Yeah, well, you've caught me cold here, so I'm not really across Leeds at the moment. There've been historically, there've been so many different news stories coming out of Leeds that I think
never a dull moment, Graham.
Never a dull moment, and actually, I think Leeds, for once, I would think, hope the fans would side with me. They never did when I was playing with them. But what they're desperate
for Chelsea. That's good.
Yeah, exactly. But what they're desperate for, Leeds, is a little bit of, you know, you want them to be dull for a while, don't you, in terms of the news, yeah, and actually deliver on the pitch. And give their fans, like a lot of, you know, these clubs that were huge when I was playing, you know, hugely supported, successful clubs, you know, give the supporters something to cheer about and get behind, because they're getting closer. They seem to be building a base. They've, you know, some talented homegrown players, and if they're run well and professionally, they've got the support, they've got the infrastructure. They need some momentum and to sustain a challenge, and then, you know, they've got an opportunity to get back to the Premier League. So, you know, despite having lots of very difficult moments at Leeds, they are a club that I have a lot of affection for, because when I was growing up, they were incredibly successful. For a period of the time of my time as a professional football player, it was a place I used to love going to, because it was always hostile and, you know, aggressive and very competitive matches. So so I have fond memories of Leeds, even if I was on the receiving end of a few of a few things and a few bad results as well.